Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy. Doing today? Are you guys glad to be in God's house? Absolutely, man. It is a good day for a lot of reasons. One, we're starting the Thanksgiving week. Some of you already have family in. I've met a lot of your family. It's been awesome, and we're kind of getting ramped up to, you know, to a big, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, or you're just hanging out, or this is just downtime. Maybe for you, school-wise or work-wise, it's just a little bit of downtime, so enjoy it this week, which is going to be absolutely incredible. Something else that I'm excited about today is obviously, you've heard Food Offering Sunday, which is awesome. If you're new to us, let me explain a little bit about what's going on here. That you haven't just stumbled upon aisle four of Albertsons in church. Here's what we do. We collect food on today for a couple different reasons. We fill our food pantry where we give out food almost every day to people coming in. They have needs and we just give them back groceries. It helps out. So all this food goes and does that. We also make Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. Like if a family needs a meal, we'll provide it. We'll take all the different things from here. They'll have stuffing, they'll have potatoes, they'll have all their stuff. And so we provide all that for them for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. So the only thing that we're missing, obviously, is the turkey and or the ham. So we obviously can't bring those in. Here's what we do. That benevolent offering that Pastor Jordan mentioned, here's the number. I'll throw it up here again. If you want to help buy turkeys and hams for families, you can just throw this text to give number in there. The benevolent thing will come down. You can throw, you know, $5, $10, $100 grand in there and just do whatever you need to. And we'll buy all the hams and turkeys that we can. This offering also does something else. All through the year, we help people who are struggling with maybe power bills, you know, water bills, those kind of things. And so we replenish our benevolent offering once a year with this. And so a great way to help if you're looking for practical things, what does the church do that's practical that helps people? Here it is. I mean, this is everything that we're going to do. In fact, you can even stay after the service and help us sort this. So if you want a little extra thing to do today, you can help us do that, which will be absolutely amazing. So good day. I hope you're dialed in. For those that are, you know, have OCD, which is some of you, I'm just going to put this right here so that you can enjoy the service all service long. I did that last service and I swear we had like four people who rebuked me in the spirit. They're like, Jesus, just work on him. So I'll turn it back over for you. There you go. Anyway, so you'll be all right. You can actually pay attention to what I'm going to say right now. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, head over to the book of 1 Peter. That's where we're going to be today. 1 Peter is in the New Testament. If you're looking for it in an actual Bible, it's way in the back. It's a little bit difficult to find, but if you find Hebrews, which is a pretty big book, you just turn a few more pages and you'll find 1 Peter. If you get to Revelation, you have gone too far. So you'll find 1 Peter there. We're just spending a couple of weeks unpacking it. I'm going to do a little bit more today, a little bit more next Sunday. And then December will be here. We're going to dive into our Christmas series, which is going to be a lot of fun. But before we do that, I wanted to spend a little time. And what I feel like is one of the best books in the New Testament. Man, that's 1 Peter. There's just so much good stuff here. In fact, we're only going to get through just a couple more verses today because there's so much to unpack with what Peter is telling us. And last week, we got to learn a little bit about the guy who wrote the book of 1 Peter. Who wrote 1 Peter? Peter, hey, good job. That is not a trick question. Some of you are like, is the answer Jesus? I don't know. Why do I say here in church now? You know, Peter wrote the letter that has his name on it. And we learned a little bit about him last week, right? We learned some about his heart and his life, how he was the disciple that didn't always get it right. And I love this about Peter. He was the guy that you could go to and say, hey, you know what? You know, he's the imperfect one. So I relate to his story. I relate to who he is. And yet even in his imperfection, Jesus chose him to be the leader. He kind of helped launch the church and everything. And the truth we came away with last week was simply this. God is not looking for perfection. If that is your fear walking into church, and some people have this fear, literally, they walk into church and going, man, I had better get it right. everything right. In fact, some people don't even show up when they have a bad week and don't get it all right because they're like, you know what? God is looking for perfection for me. No, he's not. He is not looking for perfection. Let me just lay that fear aside for you. He's just looking for progress. He's looking for us to make one more step toward him. You know, you falter and fail, that is okay. As long as you're willing to get back up and keep going after his heart. Daniel chapter 11, verse 3 says this, the people who know their God will be strong and take action. They'll be the ones that keep moving forward. They keep seeking their God. And that is what God is looking for. Those people who don't give up, who keep moving toward him no matter what. So be encouraged by that today. If that's your journey of, hey, imperfection is a part of my life, all right, just keep following after Jesus and he'll work on the rest of that. And so we kind of unpacked that with who Peter was, and then we did the first verse, which was really good. There's some good stuff still for us to talk about in the first verse, but let me give it to you. The first verse of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus to God's chosen, that's you, God has chosen you, to God's chosen who are also exiles. Now, when we unpacked exiles last week, we unpacked it in the traditional way, right? An exile is a bad thing. It's someone who's been thrown out of their home. They've been kicked out, scattered from what they knew. They probably lost their jobs. They probably lost their families. And these Christians that Peter was writing to, they were physical exiles. They literally, physically had been exiled from Jerusalem, kicked out, and they're trying to figure out life in a new place, in a new land, and that was a piece of what he was bringing to them. Be encouraged, you physical exiles. Now, this word exile also has another meaning. It has another understanding that Peter's gonna get to in chapter 2 of this letter, and it's what we're gonna unpack here in just a little bit, which is this. Another way to understand exile is this. You can be a physical exile, which is a bad thing, but we're also called to be spiritual exiles, which, my friend, is a good thing. Do you know that? Do you know that you have been called to be a spiritual exile? Some of you are going, what? What do you mean, Jim? Are you kicking me out of church today? Is this why my parents invited me? Am I out? Am I done? You know, no, I don't mean spiritual exile as being kicked out of church. I mean spiritual exile as being different than this world that you belong to, that the world itself kicks you out. Because we were born, all of us, into this world owned by its brokenness. I don't know if you know that, but we're born in this world. We're not born bad. I hear people say that, and I'm like, no, we're not born bad, but we are born broken. Absolutely broken and owned by just the stuff of this world. And if you don't believe me, then find a parent of a 2-year-old, and they will tell you that we are all born broken. Parents, some of you are just sleeping right now because your 2-year-old is not with you. This is my sleep time, Jim. Don't bother me. You know, because we see it in our kids, right? These little kids, and they were like, where did all that come from? Where did all that crazy come from? Where did all that selfishness come from? And the temptation is to point to the other parent. But we know that stuff just comes because we are owned by brokenness when we're born in this world. It's a part of who we are. It's why Paul says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that would be Adam in the story in Genesis, and death through sin, and not just physical death, but death in relationships. You ever experienced that? Death spiritually, death in things you do that just doesn't bring life. I mean, all of that. So death spread to all people because all have sinned. All have this broken piece of who they are. Now, what I love about Peter is he takes kind of the heaviness of Paul. Paul, man, you're for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Get it, understand it. Peter, who's a guy who's experienced imperfection, he turns the corner a little bit. He says, hey, but remember this, not only are we broken, but something else has happened. 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3, he says this, remember this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, because he has caused us to be born again. We were born once into brokenness, but he's calling us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Paul talks about that brokenness that we're born into physically. And here in Peter, he's talking about us being born again, being born out of that brokenness, being born to something else. Jim, what is that something else? Well, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. You're born again in Christ to a new life. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Who you were does not matter. Your history, your tragedy, your struggle, God looks at that. He sees it. He understands it. But it doesn't change his love and his passion for you and calling you into his story. Why? Because you've been made a new creation. You've got a new life when you're born again. Not only when you're born again, you get a new life, but you got a new family. And I love this. Romans 8:16, and the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are God's sons and daughters. We get this new family, which is absolutely amazing, that loves us and cares for us. And some of us who are transplants, that's a great truth. We're not around the, you know, our brothers and sisters, but now we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And the beautiful picture of God's church is a lot of times those brothers and sisters don't look like us and they don't sound like us and sometimes they don't even act like us, but man, they love us like nobody's business. That is God's church. And that is what God is creating in our heart, in our life, and here right now. We've got this new life. We've got this new family. We've got this new future. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. I'm not sure what you have planned for your future, but at some point, some of those plans don't work out, but that's not true with God. His plan for you always does, and his plan is good. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the thing that God has planned for those who love him, his sons, his daughters, those that have been born again. New life, new family, new future, and of course, a new kingdom. One of the things that Jesus preached about all the time was a new kingdom coming. And the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is going to be here. The kingdom of God is showing up. The kingdom of God is here now. We are invited to this kingdom. And what that means is this, is that we no longer are kings and queens sitting on the throne of our life. And when we're born, that's a piece of it. We are born in charge. And we are born the ones in control of what's going on. But when we surrender to Christ, what do? We yield to the King of Kings. We yield to Jesus and we simply say, hey, I'm going to live in your kingdom. And it becomes about his heart and his truth and his hope. One of the greatest things I can actually tell you is, as a Christian, we don't live for ourselves anymore. We don't live as kings and queens of our own kingdoms. We live with Jesus Christ as our King, as Lord and Savior. What he says matters. What he wants matters. His heart, his truth, his hope. Are you starting to get the picture that Peter is painting here? That we've been set free from bondage. We've been set free from being owned by the world. We've been exiled from the brokenness. Brokenness looks at us now and goes, oh, I don't want any of that. And literally kicks us out. We have self-exiled who we are from our own kingdoms. No longer are we choosing to be kings and queens of our own kingdoms, but we're choosing to be in the kingdom of God. So we've self-exiled us, and that's what it means to be a spiritual exile. It's to be in God's kingdom, following who he is and what he's doing in our hearts and life. And that all comes into play in chapter 2 of 1 Peter when he says this, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles." And he's not talking about physical exiles. He's talking about spiritual exiles. I encourage you as those who have stepped into being a spiritual exile. The King James says it even better. I grew up with this translation and I like how it says it and how I memorized it. Beloved, I urge you as strangers and pilgrims. And I remember thinking when I first read this as a kid, you know, stranger, we're strangers. What does that mean? It means something pretty powerful. That as we follow Christ, that we should be strangers to this world. You ever been a stranger to something? I remember when we first moved to Santa Maria. I came from Seattle, born and raised in kind of the south area. So California was very, very new to me, very new. So when we first got here, it was around September. And so by the time Christmas hit, we were invited over to some friend's house. And like, hey, come hang out with us and we'll do a little Christmas together. Like, sweet, awesome. And we went in, I'm expecting ham and mashed potatoes and those marshmallow colored sweet yams. You know, I'm expecting, you know, a traditional thing. But I wasn't served a traditional thing. I was introduced to something that was strange and different, but glorious. Christmas tamales. How many Christmas tamale peoples do we have in the house? Yeah, oh my gosh. Why have you been keeping it secret? I never knew. When they put it out on the table, my first thought was, what did they do to the turkey? I mean, I don't even understand that, but I had these things. It was amazing. What was that? I was a stranger to the culture. I was a stranger to some of the different things. It was different to me and those kind of things. Well, that's a little bit of what Paul is talking about, that we should be strangers to this world in such a way that things don't even look right. They don't even look the same. And we should be confused by the lack of compassion that we see in this world. We should be dumbfounded. Why is it that you can't love people? Don't you know that God has loved you so much? The compassion, the lack of that in the world should totally shock us. We should be hurt by the injustice we see. Don't you know that our God is a God of justice and he wants good things in people's lives, especially widows, especially orphans, especially those who can't fight for themselves? We should be hurt by injustice. This should be strange to us. We should be shocked by sin and by some of the brokenness that we see. It should all be strange to us because we are strangers, not because we are above the mess. Some people look at this and go, oh yeah, we should be shocked by that because we're so much better than that. That is so not me. Whatever. It is so us. We are not above any of this mess. It should be strange to us because we know people don't have to live in it. When we see people wrestling with the things that this world throws at them, it should be a strange thing because we know that people don't have to live in that bondage, they don't have to live in that hate, they don't have to live in that anger, they don't have to live in any of those things, especially those of us that are Christians that come to church. Because church isn't a museum of saints, right? We don't come in and look at each other. My brother, you look so holy and awesome today. My sister, amazingness in thy awesomeness. You know, bless you too, kind of thing. That's actually pretty, thank you, Jordan. He's teaching me some songs and stuff to sing. That's not what we're doing here. We're not a museum of saints, right? What are we? I've heard it over and over. We are a hospital for sinners where the great physician, the healer of souls, does his best work. We walk in here and we're bleeding and we're sore and we're roughed up from walking in this broken world, and we sit down and we go, Jesus, I need a little healing. I need a little healing in my relationships. I walked in here this morning needing healing in my relationships. Father, can you help me and Jen work some things out? You know, you're healing in our relationships. Can we get healing in our heart and our soul? You ever came to church depressed? You ever walked in the door filled with worry and anxiety? I have seen people weep all service long just because the heartbreak that is going on in their life, and they walk in here and God meets them. One of the greatest things that I know isn't food offering Sunday or worshiping or preaching. One of the greatest things that I experience in the church is the testimony of God's people. Folks that will come up to me after service and say, can I just tell you what God has done? How he's worked in my life, how he's worked in my marriage, how he's worked in my soul. And sometimes the story's not complete. Sometimes the story is, I am in the darkest place I've ever been in my life, but Jesus is there with me. What is that? That is the miracle worker doing miracles. That is God, the great physician, doing amazing things in our heart and our life. And so understand, we are not above the mess, but we know people don't have to live in it. The brokenness of this world, it should be strange to us. And then there's a second word here, right? We are both strangers and pilgrims. I love this word pilgrim. It's so awesome. Anybody ever taken, you know, a pilgrimage somewhere? If you don't know what a pilgrimage is when something's really important to you and you go see it. So maybe if you really love Chick-fil-A, you go see, you know, the original Chick-fil-A restaurant and you lay your hand upon Jesus' sandwich and you just have a little worship experience. You know, you make a pilgrimage to it. But here's the thing about a pilgrimage. You might go see where something is that's really important and valuable to you, but do you stay? No, that's called moving. You don't move there. You're just taking a pilgrimage. You're walking by. You say, I see you. I got to go home now because I got a job. I got to work. I got things, you know. We're pilgrims. We live in this world, and there are things that we slow down and see. I slow down and I see you. Maybe I slow down and I do marriage. Maybe I slow down and do a job. Maybe I slow down and I'm a parent. I have kids. I'm a pilgrim in this world, and there are some things that I slow down and see and experience. But my friend, this is not our home. Amen. Hebrews 13:14 says it so powerfully. This is not our home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. As pilgrims, we are just passing through to someplace else. And that truth is such a powerful truth for us to get, because I can get so wrapped up into thinking that this world is everything. Now, this world is good. There's some good things in it. There's some good things that we do and some things that we ought to be working on to make, you know, what does the Romans say? To live peaceably with all men and to do things well in this world as a testimony to Jesus Christ, absolutely. But if we spend all of our time and all of our energy and all of our effort thinking this world is everything, we have missed the greater thing. If our relationships are everything that we're living for in this world, if our job is everything we're living for, if our kids are everything that we're living for, then my friend, you've missed Matthew 6, Jesus' words would simply say, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. What does he mean when he says that? He's saying, listen, have a bigger picture. Understand that the treasures that you gain in this world, although they may be good and great, they will fade. They will break. You will lose them. No one takes anything with them. Have you ever been to a funeral or seen anything like that? But when they you know, the things are there, the stuff in there's not like a U-Haul attached to the back where the dude's taking all of his stuff. Oh yeah, that's going with me. The Xbox, it's going with me. You know, PlayStation 5, it's going. That doesn't happen. We don't take any of that stuff with us. It's not how it works. So we don't live for this world. We lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where God is eternal, where his plans are forever, where his reign is everlasting. And what we need to understand is that's what we live for. That's the bigger picture. That's what Peter wants us to see, the bigger picture of what's going on, that we are spiritual exiles, just pilgrims passing through this world to our greater home. And can I give you another truth? Another truth is this, is that your soul, the soul that exists inside of you, where we carry the image of God, that's a forever thing too. Jesus is going to say this in Mark 8:36. What does it profit a person if they gain the whole world? They get everything that they ever wanted in this life, but they lose their own soul. And his challenge to us is to think bigger, to think broader, to understand what God is doing, that this life is just a vapor, and that God is doing something bigger and greater with a bigger story and a greater story. So don't get sucked into this world's values. Don't get sucked into this world's path and agenda. These are just temporary things that we're just passing through to our forever home, to our forever inheritance. In fact, isn't that what Peter says in these next few verses? He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We aren't just released from the brokenness of this world. We aren't just exiles from the world itself, which would be cool and awesome, but we're given an inheritance that goes for the next part of our story, the next chapter of our story, and it's an inheritance that can be stolen, lost, forgotten, taken away. It is now ours and forever. So what is that inheritance that we're given as sons and daughters of God? It is the fulfillment of every promise that God has ever made to his people. That's what the inheritance is. Every promise that God has ever made, he gives to you in fulfillment. That is your inheritance. Now, we might not experience the fulfillment of the promise, you know, in our time frame. Some promises I want God to fulfill right now. God, you said you're going to wipe every tear and there's going to be no more pain and sorrow. I want that right now in this moment, here, right now. And God says, not yet. That is a promise. That's your inheritance, but not now, not yet. I'm doing other things. Hold on. So we don't see everything in the time frame that we want, but understand this, God never breaks his promises. Understand that we will see every one of them fulfilled in our future, and that is our inheritance. In these last few minutes I just want to give you some of the promises, some of your inheritance that God has given to each of us. And the first one is simply this. All these are pulled from scripture. I can give you the scripture references if you want to email me and I'll give them to you. The first one is this, is that God has promised to be the best father you have ever known. Some of you are amazing dads, and that is awesome. I love that. And so, you know, when I say best father, you're like, oh, I understand what that is. But there's a whole lot of us in the house that have no clue what a best dad looks like. We've seen the worst dads. And we read this, and I tell you what, that kind of thing resonates in my deep soul, to have the best father, the best dad, the one that sees me and knows me and treats me like a true son. God says, that is my promise to you now and forever. You will experience the best father you have ever known in your life. That is your inheritance. That's what I'm bringing to you. And not only in that, but I'll love you unconditionally and forever. Have you ever had that, your friend or your kid bring home, another friend to the house, you know, and they're staying for dinner or something like that, and you know, you look at your watch, and about 4 minutes after they arrive, going, when are they going home? You know, you ever had that moment? You're like, oh my gosh, this little friend, they're driving me nuts, they're driving me crazy. That's not how it works with God. Jesus has brought us home. He's brought us to the house. He's like, Father, here's another one of mine. And God looks at us, and he doesn't check his watch and go, when are they leaving? He looks at us and unconditionally loves us for forever. He says, you're mine. I'm adopting you right here on the spot. You're my son, you're my daughter, and you're gonna live with me in this place, in this house forever. That is promise that he's made to us, that unconditional love of God that he places on us. He's gonna make a new heaven and earth for us. He knows this place is a mess. He didn't create it this way. We broke it, but he's gonna fix it. And he's gonna place us in it to live in it, which is awesome. Hey, you can read all about that in Revelation, but if you read the book of Revelation, you might read this next promise that I think is one of my favorites when it comes to an inheritance. Do you know that God has promised this, that he's going to give each and every one of us a new name? Now you may go, what's so great about that? I kind of like the name I have. Yes, but understand, when you get to heaven, there's gonna be a moment when God calls you for, hey, come here, Jim, come over here. And I'm gonna walk up, and he's gonna whisper into my ear a name that only he knows that he has given me, and he's not telling anyone else. It's just gonna be a name that's specific between he and I, and he's gonna know it, and I'm gonna know it, and that's gonna be the most glorious thing ever. Why? Because some of us, when we think about heaven, we think about just one of the crowd, right? Some of us, when we think about heaven, you're like, hey, yeah, Jim, you're a pastor. You'll probably get a mansion, but the best I'll do is like a little outhouse over here in the corner. You know, that's gonna be me. I'm just one of the crowd. And what God says is, you absolutely are not. Man, when you get there, I'm gonna give you a new name. I'm gonna whisper to you, and you're gonna be mine. You're not one in a million. You are one in a million to me. And God is gonna have that kind of intimate, connected relationship with us. I mean, he's gonna know you, and when he says that name, you're gonna instantly know he's talking exactly about you. So beautiful, so powerful. That's how he showers his delight on us. There'll be no more sickness, no more tears, no more sorrow, loss, hurt, or pain. Well, that's coming. The other thing that I love as a part of our inheritance is that God says, one day you're gonna sit at a table with me, and we're gonna celebrate. All of us at a table celebrating. And yet Moses will be there. Hey, Moses, tell me about parting the Red Sea. You know, Joshua will be there. Hey, Joshua, tell us about the walls of Jericho. Jonah's going to be there. Hey, Jonah, what's the inside of a fish smell like? The outside of a fish. Yeah, okay, sweet, awesome, you know. We're going to have this time when we're sitting around celebrating God's goodness. And yes, we'll be able to ask these great people of faith their stories. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to ask your story. Can you tell me about God's grace in your life? How'd you get here? What is God doing in you and your heart? This is part of living in that bigger picture. Where did you trust God? Where were you following him? Hey, can you imagine Moses asking, I just want to hear about God's grace. And we tell those stories together, celebrating, and in this amazing, incredible way. And the list goes on and on and on and on. All promises that God has made that are a part of our inheritance. And I got to land the plane right here. So let's just do it this way. The point that Peter is making to us is simply this, that yes, life is good. And we're gonna celebrate this week, Thanksgiving, enjoy where God has you, enjoy what he's given you, enjoy the people he's placed you around. Yes, absolutely, for sure. But don't live like this is the only moment you have. Because my friend, you've got an eternity. and the decisions you make and the choices you make and how you engage in this life. Live as if there's a bigger picture being written. Live as if there's a bigger story, this eternity that we should live for. My friend, that's what our lives should reflect in our relationships and in our parenting and in our jobs and in our lives. That we live understanding that we store up treasures, not here on earth, we store up treasures in heaven where we have an inheritance that is good and glorious. So I simply end with this: don't live small. Don't live small in your relationships. Don't live small in your jobs. You live for the bigness that is your God and the story that he's writing for you, not just in this one little chapter called Life on Earth, but in this glorious, big old honking long story called Life in Eternity. And you live with that part of the story in mind, and I guarantee you it'll change probably what you say, what you do, how you act, how you endure, all of those things, because God is doing bigger and greater things with each of us. Amen? Amen. If you don't know Jesus and this inheritance stuff, it's kind of, you're like, I don't get it, I don't understand it. We've got folks that are in the prayer room that would love to tell you how to be a son and daughter of God. Don't walk out of here without it. I'm gonna pray God seals this message to our heart, and we got another song we're gonna sing. It's actually a song of blessing, which is great for this season that we're in. We're gonna ask God to take this song and just seal it to our heart and our soul. Father, thank you. Thank you for your inheritance that you've given us. No one can steal your love from us. No one can take away our new name. There's not anyone that can remove your delight. Father, you've gone to prepare a place for us, and we're excited about that. But you also help us live every single day right here and right now. So you fill us with peace, you fill us with joy, you fill us with hope, you give us endurance so that we can be who you've called us to be in this world as we keep one eye on the next. God, we love you and we love your heart for us and your soul for us, and you just do your deeper work in who we are. And we just offer ourselves to you, surrendered to the King as we live in his kingdom. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.